Welcome to Live, Love, Engage, the podcast where we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. I am your host, Gloria Grace Rand, the insightful copywriter and founder of The Love Method. My mission is to help you stop doubting yourself so you can live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Namaste, and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand, and I'm emphasizing the D because I notice in a lot of times when I'm saying my name, I don't emphasize it, and it sounds like Rand, but it's Rand. There is a D at the end of it. So I appreciate all of you for being here, watching on YouTube, listening to the program, and I'm delighted to have a really accomplished woman who has made it her mission to really help marriages. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Laura Doyle. She has a passion for helping women in particular fix their relationships without their man's conscious effort. So they feel desired, taken care of, and special, no matter how hopeless it seems. Laura was trying to save her own marriage when she stumbled on some ancient wisdom and wrote a book that accidentally started a worldwide movement of women who also wanted to fix their marriages and make them playful and passionate again. And now thousands of women from all over the world reached out for help. So she trained relationship coaches, created online programs, live events, and as if that wasn't enough, an Amazon Prime series to meet the demand. And she and her team of over 40 coaches have helped over 15,000 women with their self-confidence and their marriages. So she's going to hopefully share some awesome wisdom with us today for those of you, whether you're married for a few years or married for a long time, and how to keep it going. So thank you so much for being here, Laura.
It's so exciting to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you because we were actually just talking before we got started. We've both been married 30 years, a little bit over, and it's not always an easy journey, but it is an accomplishment. So I'm glad we've made it this far, and I've had two awesome kids in the process. But I wanted to find out from you because I think a lot of times we come up with these ideas to fix things because we've experienced some challenges. So even though you've helped, 15,000 women, you almost got divorced yourself. So what happened there? What prompted that?
Yeah, well, you nailed it. This was a very personal journey in the beginning. I was really happy when I first got married in 1989, same year you got married, Gloria. But just a few years in, it wasn't going well at all. And I thought that I was either going to have to get divorced or spend the rest of my life in a loveless relationship. In fact, I remember I was sitting on the marriage counselor's gray couch when it really struck me, like, I've got to get divorced. He's never going to change. And this is hopeless. Wow. But the problem was I was too embarrassed to get divorced. So as a last-ditch effort, I decided I was going to ask women who'd been happily married for what seemed like an eternity at the time, which was 15 years. I thought, that's a long time to be married. So I'm going to ask them for their tips. And they started saying things that I didn't think made any sense. I didn't understand what they meant. I thought they were going to say, we have to pick the right man. But they didn't say that, actually. They said these other things that had to do with things that I could do. And I thought, well, whatever. So I thought, okay, I'm desperate. I'm going to just experiment with these suggestions. And I'd been doing that for a little while, not that long really. And I remember at the time my husband and I either had wall-to-wall hostility or we were having cold wars where there was just no talking for days. And I remember I started using some of the things that they were suggesting. And as I came through the door, his face lit up. Like, he was happy to see me again. And then I'd been gone. So I thought, okay, something is going right here. I mean, maybe they knew something after all. And so then I thought, okay, now I know what to do. And it wasn't even that hard. It was just new. Mm. But I had a little problem. I couldn't always get myself to do the things that I knew were going to contribute towards this new playfulness and passion right. and peace that we were enjoying. And I remember, like, not that long after that, we had a big old blow up in the car again. And that was kind of our old pattern, was like, for some reason, the car made us fight. I don't know why, but so I thought, oh my gosh, this is awful. Cause now I know what to do, and how tragic would it be to have my marriage get ruined again, or just get divorced, even though I know what to do. So I came up with the idea that I was going to recruit some of my girlfriends. They were also complaining about their relationships. Mm. And so I started, I stopped telling my husband what to do. That was one of the suggestions I got. Stop telling him what to do. And I started telling my girlfriends what to do instead. And for some reason that worked. Like, we had this little support group in my living room, and they were reporting miracles. I remember one woman said that her husband won the sales contest at work, and he took her on the most romantic getaway of their lives right after that. And another one just said, well, he painted the family room, and we're like, yeah. And she's like, no, you guys don't get it. We've been arguing about that for months. Like, and he just decided to do it today. So it seemed like a miracle to her. And that's what we were finding. And so someone said, hey, can you write down what we're doing for my cousin in Florida? And I said, sure. And that became my first book, which went directly to the New York Times bestseller list and is published now in 19 languages and 30 countries. So it was like the accidental movement all over the world of women who just really wanted to know how to get that good feeling back, how to have the intimacy that they had when they first fell in love. I was just talking to another woman who studies this work this morning. She's like, I think, I'm a very successful career woman, but she goes, deep down, I think I also just wanted to be a Disney princess and have someone fall in love with me and take care of me.
Yeah, I know. Well, I tell you, that's interesting you said that, because my husband and I met through the personal ads. Now, in this day and age, of course, it's all online. But back in the day, it was actually in the newspaper, the physical paper. There were personals there, and he wrote a very romantic one of, like, he was a knight in shining armor looking for his Queen Guinevere or something. And of course, it was like, oh, it was so romantic sounding. And of course, I responded to that, because it is sort of the way that we're brought up, to expect this knight in shining armor to come around and rescue us. And then sometimes that works, but sometimes the reality is not quite the same as what they told us in the storybook. So And you mentioned one of the things is that you actually did go to marriage counseling, which I know a lot of people do it. In fact, I actually, my husband and I have done that for a little bit as well. But you say sometimes it does actually more harm than good. Why do you believe that?
Well, I just remember, so once again, we're in the car having a big fight when my husband said, fine, I'll go to marriage counseling. We were on our way to Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. And it wasn't very happy in our car. But I thought, okay, I'm going to let him have the last word on this one, But my whole mentality was, good, now we're going to go to a professional, and she is going to fix him, and then I can finally be happy. Because that's how it works. That's how I figured it worked. And so that was kind of a bad setup, because I wasn't there to look at myself. In fact, I remember her saying at one point, she was like, Laura, I don't know if you realize that you're controlling. I was like, what? Like, the record screen. I'm the good spouse. We're here to fix him, And she diagnosed me with depression, and he had this common mental disorder, attention deficit disorder, and there was medicine for that. So I thought, okay, this is really gonna, I know the medicine's hard on your liver. And I'm like, well, so what? I was really like, something's got to be done here. So it's pretty embarrassing to look back at that. But the other structure of marriage counseling, I think marriage counselors are good people that got in the business to help. They really mean well. Mm-hmm. But the structure of it is that you go in talking about all the things your partner's doing wrong. Mm-hmm. And so you're going in front of him to tell a stranger how incompetent he is as a husband, basically.
Yeah.
There's actually nothing more disrespectful than doing that. And I think we've all heard our whole lives, like, oh, you should be respectful to your, you know, your husband or whatever. And I thought I was being respectful, except for, you know, the way he drives and the way he dresses and, you know, whatever. So it was really kind of eye-opening. Yeah. To find out.
Like, these list of things. Yeah.
I'm not being respectful at all. And this is a big part of why I'm getting such a hostile reaction. You know, when I changed how I showed up, it was just amazing to me. Like this, the man who wooed me came back. It was like the guy I fell in love with was there again. So, I was just astonished to find out that so much of the power was right in my hands and I didn't realize it. Like even it was great that the counselor told me I was controlling. That was eye-opening. But I remember her saying, just stop being so controlling. And that was no help at all. I was like, how am I going to do that? I was only controlling because I was the one that knew best how to do everything, I thought. And if I wasn't going to do it, then how was it going to get done? So
that's right. Oh, yes. Yeah.
So now that I have my world famous system for relinquishing control, there's a little more structure and support for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting that we get that way. And I don't know if it's just something... It's probably not all women, and maybe it depends even sometimes on how you were raised, but sometimes it just seemed like it would be so much easier to, like, even though you want them to be able to help, it's like, oh, but then they're not putting the dishes in the right order in the dishwasher. And then you wonder later why they're not doing the dishes at all. Well, if you're going to keep criticizing how they do it, you're not enabling them. And I think it's definitely something I have learned is that it is much better to pay more attention to me and not necessarily worry so much about him. I suspect that's one of the common mistakes that, you know, women make is just they're trying to fix him. But what else do people, well, and women in particular, when they're trying to get their husband's attention, what other things are we maybe... unintentionally screwing up.
Right. Exactly. It is all unintentional, right? Because I think a lot of us, especially if you're, you know, if you're competent in your career or, you know, you feel like you're a good mom, it's like, mm-hmm. What's wrong with him? That's got to be the reason. And I think you raise a really good point that I know for me, like my life was kind of going by like a car just rolling down the street with nobody at the driver's wheel, really, because I was so focused on what my husband was doing wrong and what he should be doing.
Yeah.
And then it was interesting, you know, when I got the right information about how to fix my marriage, it was a lot about just focusing on myself, focusing on Laura's happiness. And, and then my life emerged in a way that was kind of scary. Like, I got to write this best-selling book, right? Well, I went on national media, like the Today Show and Good Morning America, and just lots of shows, and that was terrifying. It was much scarier than being the armchair quarterback of my husband's life. Mm. So it took a lot of courage to do that. And, you know, I started a coaching organization, the Prime Show and all that. Each step you take, it actually requires a lot of courage. But I think that the thing that, the other mistake that I was making, and I see a lot of, this is a really common mistake too, was, so for me, because I had become such an unpleasant toothache of a wife, kind of a porcupine, if you will, right? Like, 'cause everything my husband was doing, I was criticizing or complaining. He wasn't doing it the right way. He wasn't doing it my way. He wasn't doing it fast enough, whatever. So he really had become very distant. I remember like going and standing with my hands on the hip, my hips while he's watching TV and saying, you know, the average couple has sex 2.5 times a week. So, and we haven't had it for 2 weeks. So I think we should do it. And that was like not effective at all. Like he was like, you know, he turned up the TV a little bit, I think. So he didn't have to like hear me complaining. But I think anytime you're asking for affection or attention, you know, they just want to get away from us. It's almost like, you can kind of imagine it with a friend. Like you said to a friend, you know, and this was what all the experts were recommending, by the way. So that's where I got this information. They always say, like, you have to voice your concerns. You got to speak up. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I have a deep concern about your, you know, your lack of affection. Like either, what did I think? He just had forgotten that I, like, you know, he'd forgotten to be affectionate, or he didn't know that I liked it, or no, it was because he didn't want to be affectionate. And that hurt a lot. And so me saying it just drove him further away. Like if a friend was to call and say, You know, I'd like to, I have a deep concern about how you haven't, you know, made plans to get together with me for a while or whatever. You'd be like, oh yeah, look at the time, gotta go, right? You know, you're trying to get away from that person. Yeah. You're leaving tire marks on the road trying to get away. So this is one that we see a lot. And a much more effective approach is to just become, I call her the goddess of fun and light. And so she magnetizes him instead of having to say anything, right? I mean, when you were first falling in love, your husband probably couldn't keep his hands off of you. He wanted to, he would seek out your company. He'd call just to say, hi, what are you doing? Right. You'd have that, that, you know, silly conversation that new lovers have, like, hi, no, how are you? No, you're cuter, you know? Yeah. So, and that all comes back as you, and there, it's all about skills, right? There's certain skills that feel good to implement and also make you like 10 times more attractive than you are when you're a porcupine.
That's for sure. But have you, in working with other women, have you ever had maybe the opposite, maybe where, you know, the man is still desirable, but maybe the woman is like, you know, I really like, please, yes. Give me a break. You know, it's a little bit too much or something.
Absolutely.
So, how does that come up
all the time too.
Counsel people. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, so she's like, he's not attractive. He's kind of like, I'm not even interested. And first of all, leave me alone. Second of all, my hormones and right. There's a whole thing that goes with it. And one of the things that we find is that it's kind of interesting because my husband was super unattractive to me too, when we were having our problems, even though I did try to demand that he have sex with me. That notwithstanding, he was also, I also thought of him as a big loser pants because he just wasn't doing things the way I thought he should. Right. So, so my level of attraction to him was not very high either. So it really kind of contributes both ways. And one of the things that's so exciting and interesting, that I never get tired of seeing this movie again and again is when women kind of get the skills, and this was true for me too, and maybe stop trying to control him, stop telling him how to do things. Like, I'll give you an example. One woman her husband was, she was trying to get out of the way, trying to relinquish control. She'd been pretty bossy with their kids. And so the husband said to her, hey, is it okay if I take the boys swimming first and then we do the homework after that? And so she used one of our cheat phrases that we commonly use, which is whatever you think. It's whatever you think. So you're saying like, you're the dad. I'm going to let you be the dad. Like, I'm not going to try to be the mom and the dad here, you know? Okay. So she said, but she, in her head, she was thinking, they've got to do their homework, right? That's important. Right. You don't just get to go swimming and not do your homework. Yeah. So, but instead she decided to just trust her husband that it would all get taken care of. So she said, whatever you think. Thinking like, oh, they're not going to get their work done. And they went swimming, had a great time with their dad, came back, got all the homework done, got to bed on time. Everything was fine. Mm. And so it was interesting. She's like, and I really noticed he just looked so much more attractive when he was that man that could take that job on for her, right? Like, she wasn't having to say, no, first you have to do this. And right. You know, you can't go swimming when it's too late anyway, it's dark out, right? So, So she noticed that he actually, and we find this, that husbands sort of, we talk about them getting taller. They don't actually get taller, but they seem taller, and taller is more handsome in a way, right? Because they become more proud of how they can contribute to their families when we get out of the way and let them do it. So it's kind of a sweet thing.
Mm, yeah. And I think, or at least I've been talking with different people about marriages and relationships. I think a lot of times is the fact that men, ultimately, they really do want to be the caretaker. They want to, it's inbred in them is to be, you know, the person who takes care of the family. That's how, you know, going back hundreds of thousands of years. And when we're always picking at them, then it makes them feel less than. And so then how can we at the same time expect them to be attractive and capable when we're taking them down? So yeah,
I call it the hero gene. You can trigger his hero gene or you can really squash it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was unwittingly doing, what so many of us unwittingly did if we didn't have good training. Like, you were saying your parents are divorced and my parents are divorced. So where were we supposed to learn those skills? They didn't have relationships 101 at my school. Did they have it at yours?
No.
Right. So it's just like driving a car or making an omelet. Like, you wouldn't be good at those things either unless someone showed you how to do it. So if you didn't have the right modeling, and then it becomes, you feel like it's such a hopeless situation because you don't have those skills, but really it's all just learned.
Yeah. That's awesome that you're able to be able to help women in that, helping them to be able to learn, because you don't get this unless you are fortunate perhaps to have good role models in your home. And even then, sometimes you might still wind up being with someone who maybe doesn't act like your mother or father. And then now you're in a new quandary. Like, okay, well, how do I handle this relationship? This isn't what I studied growing up. This isn't it.
That's right.
I'm trying to think, where do I want to go? One thing I would like to find out from you though, is that even in the best of intentions, let's put it that way, that enter into a relationship, you think it's great, and maybe you have been doing, you did do some work on yourself and you're following your steps, and yet still things maybe seem like it's still not working. Are there any potential red flags or something that, you know, a wife should be aware of that would maybe signal, you know, maybe it is time that, even though I hate the idea, it might be better for us to go our separate ways?
Yeah. And I just think it's, I remember feeling that way. And I've met now so many thousands of women who have also felt that way. In fact, you know, I'd like to have a pie chart or something of, like, you know, women who think their marriage is hopeless, and that'd be like 99.99%, you know, and the ones that are wrong, and that'd be like 99.99%. because, you know, I guess the big takeaway for me, and what I'm privileged to get to see from women who are super courageous and stand for their marriage, even though it really seems insurmountable. They've come to me with problems that I didn't think were solvable, but they wanted to solve them. Oh. And then we found out that they were solvable. Like, we have women with, having an affair. He's moved out. He's living with the other woman. He's saying we're getting divorced. You know, can this marriage be saved? And boy, when I first started out, I had no idea. In fact, I kind of chose my fear in some ways over my faith. And I wrote in that first book, if he's, you know, if he's cheating, if he's a chronic cheater, you know, if he's physically abusive, if he's addicted to alcohol or drugs, you know, then you should probably get divorced. Like, I'm the expert on her life, and I'm really just not, you know. All I have really is my own experience to share. And now, fortunately, you know, the experience of these, you know, my 40 coaches who also started with broken marriages. And then thousands of women who have also used the skills. And one of the big revelations, you know, the big surprise at the end of the day was like, hey, the joke's on me. I'm the one who's bringing a lot of the pain that I'm complaining about too. My husband is my mirror. And when I look in that mirror, I get a really great reflection, just like you do when you stand at the ballet bar, right? You get to see, like, you know, I'm bending my leg, or I'm not, you know, keeping my toes straight or whatever. And my husband was that mirror for me to go on what I consider the best self-development program I've ever been on. This was me going on a journey to become the best Laura, instead of the Laura that's always focused on the thing that he didn't do right. You know, I developed the discipline of gratitude, which was finding the things that he did do right and focusing on those. I became more vulnerable. I stopped fighting City Hall. I became happier. I was, instead of always being on that to-do list and being exhausted, the kitchen elf martyr who was always having to clean up after everybody, you know, I left her. She's gone now. I don't know where she went, but she's not here. And that's good, because I didn't like being around her. So I guess for me, it's like, I've never really seen the intimacy skills and the connection framework. I've never really seen them fail when women apply them. Wow. And it's like, well, how is that possible? But it's sort of like with exercise. Like, you know, if somebody could say, well, you know, exercise didn't work for me. And it's like, well, Hold on a minute, right? There might be some techniques. There might be some specific blind spots, and this is why you get a coach, right? We all have those blind spots where we think, oh, it really is him. This one's really him. It's not me. And it's just been gratifying to see again and again when women apply the skills. I mean, to paraphrase Thomas Wolfe, miracles not only happen around here, they happen all the time.
Wow. That is encouraging. It really is encouraging because, right? I don't know what the divorce rate is in the United States, but I know it's like what, close to 50% or something like that. And I guess it's, you know, part of, we've become this sort of throwaway culture, disposable. And if you're going to invest the time and the money even too, but especially the time and investing your heart in a relationship, I think you want to be able to do as much as you can to see that it can survive and thrive. But it does all come down to focusing in on ourselves, because I've definitely learned that. It seems like that's when I've found this in my experience over the last couple of years, that when I'm being kind to myself, and then it is a lot easier to be kind to my husband than even to, because I'm taking care of myself, and I do make a conscious effort to compliment him about things, because he does have a lot of excellent qualities, because I don't think I would have married him otherwise. Right. And I certainly wouldn't have stayed married to him otherwise. And I know that, yes, there's things about him that drive me crazy, and I also know there's things about me that drive him crazy too, and yet he still is willing to put up with me. So, I guess we should put up with each other a little bit better. At least that's my experience anyway.
I love your humility about that, Gloria, because I think I had forgotten that I was not perfect, and that was a big part of what, and I had taken my focus off those wonderful qualities. Like you're saying, I wouldn't have married him, right? None of us would have married our husbands.
Yeah.
We didn't think they were spectacular, right?
Yeah. There had to have been something that dry.
There was something. Yeah. Yeah. And so, but I think for a woman to get to the place where I was, and where I see so many women get, she really has gone through tremendous heartbreak. There's been a lot of pain, a lot of struggle.
Yeah.
A lot of suffering, a lot of hopelessness. And I just have so much compassion, because when you don't know there's a way out and you just keep hitting your head, mm-hmm. think, yeah, you know, might be better if I stopped hitting my head, right? It's just absolutely a logical conclusion to come to. It's not that she wasn't persistent enough. It wasn't, you know, it's not that she wasn't committed enough. She just didn't have those tools in front of her. I mean, here we were at marriage counseling, and so many of my clients come to me from marriage counseling, you know, thousands mm-hmm. through marriage counseling, and thinking, oh, that's the thing that's supposed to help you fix your marriage. When it doesn't, it's really pretty crushing.
It is. Yeah. It's and here's an example. We, at the end, before we stopped seeing our marriage counselor, we found that my husband was coming up with better ideas of how to handle what was going on than she was. He would come up with suggestions, and I was like, well, what are we paying her for if we're able to do this ourselves? So yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty cool that you guys, so it means he was coming up with ideas and you were open to those ideas, which is a form of respect. So, you're pretty good. You're pretty good, Gloria. I give you props for that, because sometimes it's hard to even listen to you. You're like, what do you know? You're the guy that's not showing up for this relationship, or you're the guy that, you know, in some cases you're the guy that cheated, or you're the guy that's drinking too much, or whatever.
Yeah,
this seemingly insurmountable challenges are.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying, because I still, you know, every like, you know, probably like yesterday, would still still have those moments of like, you know. And I do think it is because I have been really doing a lot of work on myself that, and I have some good coaches who point out, well, you know, Gloria, you know, this, you might want to, yeah, well, you know, pay attention to what you're doing and how you're talking to him and think about that. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, shoot. So, but yeah, it's all learning process and a work in progress. There we go. I'll put those together.
Yes, yes.
But I think ultimately is just don't lose hope and just reach out, you know, like you said, yeah, reach out to maybe a coach or reach out, you know, to someone like you, not necessarily. I think there are some good marriage counselors. However, I went to a marriage counselor by myself first and I got really good help from her. And because it was about me. It really was more
yes,
about me.
Yes. So, you're focused on yourself. And that's right. The illusion is that you can work on a relationship. And the truth is there's no such thing. There's only working on yourself and he can work on him. If he's not working on himself the way you want him to, then there's things you can do on your side to have him respond much, much better.
One last question I want to ask you, because I was curious to know the answer to this, is you've said that there's like one question you should never ask a man. Besides, and I hope it's not, you know, how do I look in this dress? But I don't know. I know that's a loaded one. But
a little bit. I mean, that's better than, does this make my butt look big or whatever?
Oh, right.
I ask my husband that all the time. He's so sweet now. Like, he's just constantly telling me how cute I am and making up little songs and stuff. So I'm not afraid to ask that. But the question that I used to ask him a lot, when I kind of used to have like this junior therapist hat. And I'm like, if I could get him to open up about, you know, his feelings, then we could have the connection that I really want. Mm-hmm. And it turns out men don't really like to talk about their feelings. And I know this is controversial and people say, oh, it's so sexy you would say that. But they did a study at the University of Toronto, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you're sitting down as I tell you the results of this study, because it is shocking. But they found out that women are more emotional than men.
No, really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I know. So there's some research money that was well spent, right? But what does that mean? It just is that as women, you know, we have this gift. It's an emotional brilliance that we can bring to the relationship and we bring to the world. Yeah. And without it, relationships actually get kind of stuck. And so here I was like trying to ask my husband like how he felt, and he would be like, hungry? You know, he's like trying to get the answer right.
You know,
with my hands. And really, I was the one, you know, it was like kind of scary to turn inward and just really look at myself and say, gosh, you know, I'm really sad, you know, about this situation with my mom, or, you know, I'm really nervous about this talk I have to give tomorrow. And that was where the beautiful connection came, especially when I would bring vulnerability. So asking him what he thinks is really kind of like, that's like your department. So you want to think about like how to turn that towards yourself. And ask yourself, like, how do I feel, and bring that instead. Really powerful, actually.
Yeah, I 100% agree, because this was, and this was, I think, even when we were having a little bit of a rocky time, but I was going to do my first speaking engagement out of state. I was going up to Atlanta and I was really nervous about it. And I told him that, you know, I'm like, I'm really scared about going tomorrow. And he was so supportive. He was just like, you're going to knock him dead. You know, you're going to do great. And I did. I mean, I actually sold from the stage. It was like, and it was a small audience, but I made 2 sales. So it was like, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That just really, really touched my heart that he was able to do that and, you know, be my cheerleader that day with, you know, not even asking him to do it. I was just like, you know, just being vulnerable. Like you said.
You triggered his hero gene.
Yeah.
The part of him that really wants to just take care of and support and have your back. And I love your vulnerability in that story. Like, it's really attractive to me too. And I can see why your husband would be attracted to it. Like, really? You were nervous? Yeah. It's such a human thing to be a little nervous about giving a talk in front of a live audience.
Yeah.
That's a great example.
Well, thank you. And Is there anything, because I know we've covered a lot, but is there any last bit of advice that you have that you'd like to share that we haven't covered that would be helpful for women out there listening?
You know, yeah, if you think it would be of value, I'd love to just, there's a skill that we have that I feel like is so fundamental to everything else called expressing your desires in a way that inspires. And so if you think that would be valuable, I'm happy to, I'd love to just, you know, I just feel like every woman, I want to grab like every woman by the shirt. You need to know this, right?
So, yes, I love the sound of it.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. So in the old days, like at my house, for example, I used to, I would complain about something. I could say, John, my husband, John, this kitchen's a disaster. And I thought he was going to then jump off the couch and start doing the dishes and like clean up. And So weird. That never happened. That never ever happened. And now I look back and I realize, like, I don't think men can even hear us when we're complaining. I think he just probably heard John, blah, 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 blah. Right.
Right.
So, but a while later, as part of this process I was in, I learned about expressing my desires. And that was a little bit of a burden on me as well. It was like, instead of just complaining, I had to really think about what I wanted.
Yeah.
And so I started to say, so one day I said to him, I would love a clean kitchen. And mind you, we'd been battling about who did the dishes, like for that, you know, that was a time honored tradition to just battle about that. And I said this, I would love to have a clean kitchen. And my husband did jump up. He goes, okay, I'll clean it. And he did. He did the dishes. Yeah. And he's been doing them ever since. And that's been like a long time, like 18 years. 18 years. I don't ever do the dishes at my house anymore. Because once my husband knew how happy it would make me that he would do the dishes, he just wanted to please me. So it's a pretty exciting skill to have. I had a student tell me the story the other day. She and her husband were totally estranged. She'd already said he wanted to divorce. There was no talking in their house whatsoever. Mm. And she said she had done some cleanup about being disrespectful. She had apologized for that. And then she said to him, she just said to the air, actually, I would love a leg massage. Mm. And he just looked at her and there'd been no touching, nothing. And he goes, would you like it right now? And she goes, okay. And he gave her a leg massage. And that was like the beginning of them reconciling. Yeah. Her whole process. So anyway, yeah. So expressing your desires in a way that inspires. Now you've got the formula. I would love, and then the final.
That really just sounds like an awesome magic formula that I can't wait to try out myself.
You're going to love it.
Dishes, that would be nice.
Yeah.
He did used to do them for a while and hasn't done them in a while. So maybe I'll have to try it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, before we end off, I always ask my guests, if someone wants to be able to get to work with you, find out more about you, what is the best way for them to do that? How can they get in touch with you?
So I have something really great for them right now, which is the Adored Wife Roadmap. So it's just really lays out all the steps to becoming an adored wife, a Disney princess. I think we all secretly want to be. And they can get that right now at lauradoyle.org. And there's a little more to it, but just lauradoyle.org. They can get it there.
Okay.
And then it's also got like some of the mistakes, you know, really common mistakes.
Right.
And they can also join my free Adored Wife Facebook group from there if they want.
Oh, awesome. Well, very good. Okay. I'll make sure that I have that in the show notes so people can find it. And I really, really enjoyed our conversation today. Thank you so much for being here. And
so
learned a lot and can't wait to try out that formula. So say it again. It's the express
your desires in a way that inspires.
Way to inspire. Okay. I like that. Very
good.
All right. Thank you so much, Laura, for being here. And thank you, awesome listeners and viewers. And I appreciate you all for being here. And I can't wait to bring the next guest. So make sure that you're stay tuned for that. And until next time, as always, I encourage you to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. One more thing before you go. As a valued listener of the Live, Love, Engage podcast, I want to help you shine your light in the world, not only while you're listening to the show, but all day, every day of the week. That's why I created the Live, Love, Engage Spiritual Awakening Community on Facebook. It's a place for you to gather with other business professionals and entrepreneurs who are committed to living the life of their dreams. If you want to be a part of this community and receive free trainings from me, go to livelovengage.com and request to join. That's LiveLoveEngage.com.
COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, has spread throughout the world. Symptoms of this respiratory disease may include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. These symptoms may show up 2 to 14 days after exposure. If you are experiencing these symptoms and have come into contact or are in an area with an ongoing outbreak, please call a hotline and/or consult with a physician. Clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces. For more information, please visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Thank you.